opium cartel, and even from the farmers themselves, literally dirt poor. That's going to stop, Rick said silently, with a grim smile. Now. Spreading the enzyme-bearing nanos across the poppy fields was the tricky part. Rick thought about commandeering cargo planes from various national airbases, but decided that such an overt move would attract too much attention. Instead, he opted to deliver them himself, projecting himself across the skies like an avenging angel, spreading death to the plants that produced opium and heroin. Not death, he told himself. Not one flower will die. They'll grow and bloom just as they always do. The farmers will harvest them, and the chemists will process them just as they've done since time immemorial. But from this time on, the poppies will produce no narcotic chemicals. They'll be nothing more than harmless red flowers. The drug trade will be broken. The cartel will self-destruct. There will be murderous wars while they try to find out who's made their product useless. Maybe I'll announce from on high that I've done it, and there's nothing they can do about it. But not until I do the same for the coca plantations in Latin America. That will be tougher. They grow the coca plants in the forests, protected from satellite sensors by the other vegetation. But I'll find them. I'll root them out and destroy them. I'll rid the world of this curse once and for all. In his mind, though, Rick heard his mother's calm, rational voice. Until they start mass-producing designer drugs in laboratories. He almost smiled. Then I'll destroy their laboratories, each and every one of them. He sensed Joe's disapproval. Don't take on the job of being God, Rick. It leads to tyranny. Besides, your father won't like it. Chapter 3. The minivan pulled up beside the old Humvee, and the technicians piled out. Two men from each of the three nations, Stoner saw as he climbed down to the sandy ground. Two Chinese, two Iranians, and two Americans. To each other, they seemed very different. The cast of their eyes, the tints of their skins, their languages, their religions, their histories. Yet they're so much alike. Their differences are minuscule. But it's their differences that they each focus on. Come on, Earthlings, he called to them. Let's witness some history here. Without anyone giving a command or making a decision, Stoner became their leader as they walked in the blazing hot sunshine the half-dozen steps from the minivan to the steel door of the drab, featureless disposal building. One of the Chinese technicians came up alongside Stoner. Have you truly been to the stars? He asked, his voice low. Yet Stoner heard the curiosity in his tone. Truly, he replied. Tomorrow I'll address the plenary session and tell you all about it.
It's hard to believe.
I know, but it's entirely true. As they approached the door, it swung open. A slim, big-eyed, gray-skinned man half-bowed and clasped his hands together.
Welcome! Enter! Enter! Said Nagesh Janagar.
Standing in the rear of the observation bunker's only room, Tavalera whispered to Angelique, We're not going to see much from this distance. She pointed to the display screens lining the room's front wall. The cameras in the disposal building will show everything. Tavalera made a noise halfway between a sigh and a grunt. The politicos down front were having some trouble getting themselves seated. A couple of the Chinese were jabbering to themselves, while several of the bearded, smoky-skinned Iranians stood glowering. Archbishop Overmeyer moved ponderously among them, a broad smile pasted on his jowly face, his hands fluttering amicably, and finally got everyone seated. They all want to sit in the center, Tavalera figured. None of them wants to sit on the sides. He almost laughed out loud at the display of naked egos. At last the archbishop raised his hands prayerfully and said in his most benevolent tone,
I want to thank you all for coming to this demonstration of faith and goodwill. I believe we should all thank God for the blessings of peace and understanding. No matter how you worship him, we are all God's children.
The archbishop clasped his hands together and bowed his head. All the others did pretty much the same, Tavalera saw, even the Chinese. Sister Angelique lowered her head in prayer. After several seconds, the archbishop straightened up, as much as a man of his girth could straighten.
And now I would like to present to you our host for this historic moment, the President of the United States.
Oh, crap, Tavalera moaned softly. They're going to make speeches. Angelique flashed an annoyed glance at him.
Of course, she whispered. What did you expect?
Tavalera's unhappy frown could have curdled milk. As the President started to get up from his chair, Oscar Melillo grasped his arm and whispered,
Remember, when it goes off, you're shocked, stunned.
The President nodded, thinking, We've rehearsed this a dozen times. I'm shocked, then I'm filled with righteous anger. Righteous anger. That's when we launch our missiles. That's when I lay down the law to the chinks and the rug merchants.
Janagar was reciting the speech he had memorized, telling the technicians all the details of the hydrogen bomb and its intricate workings. The technicians had gathered around the opened warhead, peering into its works.
And these? Asked one of the Iranians, interrupting Janagar's carefully rehearsed explanation.
What are these? Those are the safety interlocks. They ensure that the bomb's fusing mechanism will not be activated until the timing signal is received from the master computer.
And where is the master computer? The Iranian asked, rather peremptorily, Stoner thought. Janagar pointed to a metal box about the size of a man's palm.
This is the master computer.
Larger than it needs to be, murmured one of the Chinese.
He spoke Mandarin, but Stoner understood him perfectly. Stoner smiled inwardly. These techno-geeks are in their element, happy as clams at high tide. I wonder if this Hindu will be able to start his job of dismantling before they run out of questions. Janagar, though, was glad that none of them had asked him to disconnect the master computer. It was already counting down to the moment when the bomb would detonate. The President spoke for nearly 10 minutes. Then the head of the Chinese government got to his feet. Ling Po wore a single red star pinned to the chest of his blue coveralls. In Oxford-accented English, Ling Po began,
I wish to thank the President for inviting us to witness this historic event.
Tavalera huffed with impatient displeasure. Leaning toward Angelique's ear, he whispered, I've had enough of this. I'm going to grab one of those vans outside and go to see them dismantle the bomb.
No, she whispered back urgently. You've got to stay here.
Shaking his head, Tavalera said, I can't stand this BS. I'm going to where Stoner is.
You can't, she insisted,
clutching at his arm. Come on, Angelique, we're not needed here. Let's go where the action is. You can come with me. Nobody's going to miss us here.
No,
she repeated, her eyes wide with fear. Tavalera stared at her. Why not? He demanded.
Stay here. It's safe in here.
Safe? Safe from what?
Just stay here, she said. Don't go outside.
Why not? He asked again. She didn't answer, but the terror in her eyes told him what he needed to know.
Jesus H. Christ, he hissed. You're gonna set it off. You're gonna kill him.
Tavalera wrenched free of her grasp and bolted toward the door. Chapter 4
Stoner!
Tavalera yelled as soon as the bunker's steel door clanged shut behind him. The desert sun was like a hammer on his bare head as he ran toward the nearest of the minivans.
Stoner!
He called again as he slid into the van's cab. Solar panels on the vehicle's roof generated enough electricity to keep the van's air conditioner running at low speed. Tavalera gunned the engine and twisted the AC's control knob to its highest level. No answer from Stoner. As he headed toward the dismantling building, jouncing and rattling on the rutted, unpaved road, Tavalera blamed himself. I told him to stay out of my head. I told him to keep away from me.
Stoner saw that Janagar's face was shining with a fine sheen of perspiration. The man's hands were trembling slightly as he continued his explanation of the bomb's workings for the 6 technicians.
So which component will you remove first?
Asked one of the Chinese, his manner brusque, impatient. Drawing himself up to his full height, Janagar barely reached the level of Stoner's shoulder. He closed his eyes and said in a voice suddenly shaking with emotion,
None. The bomb will not be dismantled. It will explode in less than 1 minute.
One of the Iranians started to laugh,
But a look at Janagar's face cut off his amusement.